Well, good morning and welcome to Worship at Grace Church in Peterborough, Ontario. I'm glad you're taking the time to watch this service, and I hope that it becomes a blessing for you this week. Today is the third Sunday of Easter, and most people think that Easter is just a day, that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but in fact, Easter is a season. And it's a season of 50 days that takes place between Easter Sunday and Pentecost. And throughout this time, we see the stories of Jesus as he interacts with his disciples and what we learn about the new life we have in Christ. And so I have a video that I want you to take a look at, and it's going to help us understand what do you do after the celebration of Easter. So take a look and see what you think. This morning, I'm going to have an opportunity to speak to you about the unknown traveler. That's a presence that journeys with us in life, even though we cannot feel that presence. And I look forward to having an opportunity to talk about that this morning. But right now, I'd like to invite you to join with me in the call to worship as you'll find it on the screen here. And as always, I'll do the parts that are marked in white. If you'll respond with the parts that are marked in yellow, and I will be reading both parts. As the Easter season continues to unfold, we remind one another, Christ is alive. We are grateful for each day and acknowledge that the living Christ walks with us. Spring is a time of new life. And we are reminded of the new life we have in Christ. May the risen Christ enable us to see the blessings of this day and the new life we have through him. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, as we continue to live in this unusual time, we pause at the beginning of this worship experience to thank you for the blessings of the week past. We are grateful for those who took the time to give us a call on the phone. We are thankful for the warmth of your care, compassion, and peace within our lives. In these moments of worship, we ask that you enable us to grow in our faith and have a greater awareness of your presence in the midst of our daily living. Help us to know that the living Christ continues to support encourage, and nurture us, even in the moments when we cannot feel his presence. Bless and keep us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'd like to invite Jill to come and light the Christ candle this morning. One of the blessings of this candle being lit is just a constant reminder that we do not walk alone, and that the presence and the love that we find in Christ Jesus our Lord walks with us. Well, this morning we're going to open the service in a little different way than the last several weeks. We have a contemporary service at 9 o'clock, which includes a band, and we're going to open up with some of the music that the band would normally play. This was recorded a couple of years ago, and this first song is a great song. It's called All the Earth Will Sing Your Praises, and it speaks about Christ being alive. And so, if you know the song, join along in it. If you are not familiar with this song, I invite you to just watch the words and listen as the band sings. You live, you die, you said it, bring it, you would rise, you give, you're alive. You rule, you reign, you said you're coming back again. I know that you will, and all the earth will sing your praises. Well, I hope that got the juices flowing. And we're going to hear another song and sing along with the band. And it's a great song called We Believe. Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to the band. And so the service this morning is a blended service. And so it includes worship on music, and then we're going to sing a couple of hymns later on during the service. So I hope you'll enjoy both parts of those service. Well, I want to talk to the children and tell a little story. And I have a package here of things in my hand. And what they are, of course, are seeds. And this is a really, really tiny seed that I want to show you, but I don't know if we can get it. And the seed is here. And of course, that seed is so small that it can't possibly know exactly what that seed is. But if I were to give you some clues, I'm sure that you would be able to guess correctly. And so this seed, when you plant it in the ground, will one day develop a long thing about this long, and it's orange in color. And so any guesses? Well, if you guessed a carrot, you would be absolutely right. And seeds are a great opportunity for me to tell you this story. It's a story about a little 7-year-old boy by the name of Amos. And Amos was wanting to plant something and grow something himself. So he found this seed and he decided that he's going to make his own garden. So he went out to the backyard and he dug up some soil and he planted this seed. And his sister came along and said, "Well, what are you doing, Amos?" And he says, "Well, I'm planting a seed." And the sister said, "Well, that's a waste of time. It's not going to grow there." But Amos didn't worry about what his sister said, and he leveled all the ground off, and he watered the seed, and he waited. And then a couple of days later, he came out, and he looked at the place, and nothing happened. It was just the brown dirt. But he got out his watering can again, and he watered it again, and this time his brother came and said, "Now, what are you watering and putting water on the dirt for?" He said, "Well, I've planted a seed, and something is going to grow." And of course, his older brother said, "That's not going to happen." But Amos didn't worry about what his brother said either. He just was very patiently waiting for something to happen. And so each day he would come out and take a look at the patch of ground where he planted the seed. And for 2 weeks, nothing happened. And all of a sudden, out came this green leaf. And he was so excited, and he called his mother, and he said, "Mom, look, look what's growing." And the mother smiled and said, "Yes, Amos, something is growing, but I'm afraid that's a weed." And Amos was a little disappointed, and his mother said, "Well, you have to pull the weeds out, and you have to wait until the seed you planted grows." And so, once again, Amos kept looking after the little patch of garden that he had planted his seed. And another week later, nothing came out but some more weeds, and he picked those. But finally, 2 weeks after that, another green sprout came up that was different than the weeds that he was pulling. And he called his mom and he said, look at this one, it's different. And his mother said, "Yes, I think that's the carrot that you planted." And Amos was excited, and he waited. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, all of a sudden, he could see the top of the carrot break through the ground, and he pulled it out, and he excitedly went, and he showed his mother the carrot that he had grown all by himself. The story is about learning how to be patient, and Amos was patient. And if you're a gardener, one of the things that it's important to have is to have the ability to be patient, because things don't grow as fast as we think perhaps they should. And this story is a story for life, because you and I have to be patient. It's important to be patient sometimes. And even today, in the context of the coronavirus, we have to be patient until things begin to change and we can return to the life that we had before. There's a funny thing that happened. I was talking to one of the little children in our neighborhood, and I said, "Well, are you missing school?" And he put on a big smile, and he says, "Not at all." And so he was just having a great time not going to school. And so you and I are just called to be patient until things change and the coronavirus gets under control. And hopefully, in a little while, we'll be able to return to normal. And so that's what I want you to remember and think about when you're feeling impatient. I want you to think about Amos and how patient he was in growing his carrot. So, as you can see, the COVID-19 prayer wall is developing quite nicely, and I thank you for those who took the time to bring things in. We got some beautiful pictures, and we've got a whole bunch now of different colored rocks that speak about hope, and this one says, is a rock that says, God rocks. And so I hope that more and more of the kids and maybe the adults will bring more rocks in and paint some rocks up, because we're going to use them in our gardens. So after the COVID-19 crisis is over, we're going to place all these as a permanent reminder to us of this time that we have moved through. And we have people that have written prayers, and there's a couple I just want to mention and tell a little bit about the things that they have said. We received a poem from Carol, and it's called Live in Faith and Love, and it opens with these words. This world is suffering now with such dreadful loss. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's all look at the cross. And then there's more verses, but she closes off with, our faith shall always keep us strong, whatever it may be we face, hoping that all people on this earth live to receive God's saving grace. And another person by the name of Bev wrote us a prayer, and in this part of the prayer she said, we look to you, O God, for peace. Help us live our lives as you lived, to walk in faith, to live in truth, and to love in peace. Wonderful words. Another lady sent in her gratitude list, and she used the word gratitude. And for each of the letters, she reflected on what she was grateful for. And for the tea, she said that she was grateful for the time on her hands to do all the things and projects that she always wanted to do. And then she ends the little writing by saying, COVID-19 has truly been and is a very humbling experience. This virus does not discriminate and has given us opportunities to make this world a better place. We have been given a chance to step back and view the world from a different perspective. And then the final one is this picture up on the wall, which is a very creative little drawing of the Grinch. And of course, everybody knows the Grinch story about how the Grinch stole Christmas. But Cecile wrote these words. She said, this sneaky virus has stopped the world. Every nation hit hard as we swirled. No more sports or coffee with a mate. No hugging or gathering. The world to recreate. And so she finishes off with the words, silly COVID-19. We are the people God wants us to be, just as long as we have we. And so thank you for all the creative people and all the different things that people have added to the wall. And I hope you'll keep them coming, because my hope is that if this goes on for a month or so, we'll fill the wall with lots of prayers, and prayers do make a difference. And so we have the opportunity now to hear some of the scripture passages. And these scripture passages are all from the New Testament, because they all speak about the influence that the resurrection of Christ has had upon the people. In this first passage from the second chapter of Acts, the 36th chapter, the 41st chapter, Peter is talking to the people about who Jesus is. And then the second passage is from 1 Peter, the first chapter, 13 to 25. And this is where Peter is encouraging the people to be different and to live lives according to the ways of Christ. And Jill is going to come and read those two passages for us this morning.
Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. First Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 25. Be holy, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Well, I'd like to share with you a story from Luke's Gospel, and it's a really neat story, one of my favorite stories from Luke's Gospel. It takes place towards the end of the day and early evening on the day that Jesus was risen from the grave. And this story is about Jesus walking along with two of his disciples, and the disciples didn't recognize who Jesus was. And Jesus uses this opportunity to teach them and to encourage them and to give them renewed strength. This is from the 24th chapter, starting at verse 35. I beg your pardon, verse 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they were talking and discussing these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and he was crucified. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group were at the tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on the way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has already risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they recognized him as he was breaking the bread. Here ends the reading for this day from Luke's Gospel. And as we have listened to all of these stories, may we begin to understand the meaning they have for our lives today. May they encourage us and strengthen us and help us to be aware of the risen and living Lord. Amen. Well, for our music ministry this morning, we're going to have the opportunity to listen to Deb Passmore, who is a member of the choir, and she was in yesterday and recorded this song called "Lord, I Stretch My Hands to You." And so now I'd like to invite Jill to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let us join together in prayer. Awesome God, today is the day that you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to connect with you in prayer this morning from the comfort of our homes. Prayer is that time for us to unite together in spirit, to think of those that are in need of your healing power, as well as to acknowledge the many blessings that we continue to encounter from you on a daily basis. It is also that time to just say thank you. Thank you for another day and another breath. As we look around, the many signs of spring are in our midst. The sun has graced us this past week with its warmth and strong presence. And we are starting to see the signs of new life in the buds and the trees. All your creation is in its glory, and the warmer weather is now within our reach. Thank you for the moment we have right now, the moment we have to be in prayer, because it is within this present moment where we can connect with you on a deeper level and find the strength to continue on another day. Lord, life is not always easy. It is hard living in a world where people fight, where people are unkind towards one another, where people are unkind towards one another based upon race, sexuality, religion, and differences of opinion. And sometimes we struggle to cope with all this oppression. We think of the people in Nova Scotia this morning who are trying to recover and wrap their heads around the mass shooting last Saturday. There is grief and resentment, loss, fear, anger, and other emotions that are hard to put into words. Be with them and comfort them in their moments of despair. As we continue to navigate through an interesting time in our world, some days can be harder than others. However, knowing we do not walk alone helps ease some of the uncertainty. As you know, Lord, there are lots of people struggling in our world and in our community and in our own church with different things. People who are maybe feeling lonely, broken, struggling with spirituality, maybe feeling a disconnect, worried, fearful about the future, and fearful about their health. And there are even those questioning how to keep going on with life. We ask you this morning to place your healing hand upon them so that they will be reminded of the power of your unconditional love and strength. We thank and pray for our government and the leaders of our nation today. There are so many important and critical decisions that they continue to make for our country and world and province. We ask that you guide them and give them wisdom so that the decisions they make will bring the people towards wholeness and health. We uplift those individuals who are challenged by mental health, addiction struggles, homelessness, and grief. May they too find peace within the struggle, and may they keep going one day at a time. Let us not forget to continue praying for all of our frontline workers and their families this morning. These people put themselves at risk every day. Remind them that they are appreciated, loved, and respected for their dedication in serving the community in and around our world. Lastly, we say a special prayer for all children of the world. This is not an easy time for them. And we say a special prayer for those children where home is not always a safe place. Maybe there is abuse or domestic violence in the home. And we ask, Lord, that you encourage these children to reach out to the crisis lines that are offered and remind them that they are loved and that you are with them even in their darkest moments. As we continue to walk with you and as we continue moving into the week ahead, may we be examples of Christ, serving those who are less fortunate than us. Allow us to be that light in someone's darkness, to be a source of strength and encouragement to the people we meet this week. As Christians, Christ is our hope, and it is up to us to pass on that hope to others. Let us use the resource of prayer more often during this trying time, not only to help ourselves, but to help others and develop a deeper spiritual connection with you. With God, all things are possible. Thy will be done. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus, and we say together the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Well, I invite you to join with us in our hymn now. It's number 560 in the hymn books, but it's also on the screen, and it's entitled, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Well, that was a wonderful hymn of the Christian Church that speaks about walking with Christ. And this morning I want to talk about the unknown traveler. And to help you be aware that you and I have this presence that goes with us. Whether we feel it or not, there is this presence, this energy that walks beside us to lift us and encourage us and help us to live and be more like Christ. Comes from the story of Luke's gospel, and this is a picture that hangs on my wall in my study at home. And it's the picture that is representing Luke 24, 13 to 35. And it's a picture of the two disciples and Jesus in the middle here walking with them as they go towards Emmaus. And Emmaus was about 7 miles away, and the disciples were walking. This was in late afternoon, evening, and all of a sudden Jesus came and walked with them. And the interesting part of the story is that the disciples didn't recognize Jesus at all. And so I want to talk a little bit about that. What is it that prevented them from recognizing Jesus? And then talk about what happens to us when we miss Jesus' presence today, and then talk about how we might encounter Christ a little more. So what hid Christ from the two disciples? Well, there were a couple of things that were taking place. First, they were focused on the challenges, the difficulties of the moment. They had been with the other disciples as the women came back from the tomb and they heard that the body wasn't there. And then for some reason, they took off to Emmaus and they were talking about all this. And I don't think they were totally convinced that what happened at the tomb really took place, because they're talking about the challenges and the difficulties and they're sad. And then Jesus comes along and he says, well, what are you talking about? And they can't believe that Jesus wasn't up to speed as to what was going on in Jerusalem. And so they told him about what took place and how the scribes and the Pharisees had put Jesus to death and how the women had gone to the tomb and they didn't see the body there and the angels told them that he was alive. And yet they just were wrestling with all of this and they couldn't make sense of it. And so their focus on the challenge and difficulties of the moment prevented them from seeing and recognizing who Jesus was. The second thing is they were overwhelmed with emotions, and understandably so. They had been walking and been part of the circle of Christ's disciples, and they had listened, and they were expecting great things. And they were disappointed, and that's when one of the Cleopas said, you know, we had hoped that he was going to be the Messiah that would liberate and save Israel. And so they were disappointed, they were sad, they were disillusioned, and their hopes were dashed. And because of all of these emotions, they were unable to recognize Jesus for who he was. Well, what hides Christ or Jesus from our eyes today? When are the times that you miss the presence of Christ that is beside you and around you? And some of the circumstances are very similar to those of the disciples who were walking to Emmaus. Sometimes we miss the presence of Christ because of the uncertainties that we're facing in life. And there's lots of questions and there's things that we wonder about. And we're not people who like uncertainty. We would much prefer answers. Even in this COVID-19 situation, people now are getting antsy and they go, well, when are things going to go back to normal? When is the economy going to start to get back in operation? And we're having a hard time with not having a date and not being aware of when this might take place. Other times are fears. And in the COVID situation, there was tremendous fear about toilet paper for some reason. I just smile at how, of all the things you people worried about at the beginning of this crisis, it was toilet paper. And of course, people were hoarding toilet paper. And these fears that we have make us do incredibly funny things. And our fears prevent us from being able to see who Christ is in the present moment. And of course, worries about life, what's going to happen, and we're filled with worries right now because of the coronavirus. You know, people are worried about finances, they're worried about the economy, they're worried about what's going to happen. Will there be a second wave? What's going to take place? And we're so worried because of the uncertainties in life. And the only thing certain about the future is that it is uncertain. And that's true if you think about what happened in Nova Scotia last week. in those communities, things were going along as it had gone along for years and years. And then, out of the blue, comes this tragic and difficult situation where many people lost their lives. And it fills us with worries, fears, and uncertainty. Corrie Ten Boom, who is a lady who was well known during the Second World War, was in a concentration camp, made this great comment: "Worrying does not empty tomorrow of its troubles, it empties today of its strength." And so the worries of today just empty us of the strength and the awareness that Christ is around. Well, the last thing that hides Christ from us today is our problems. Everybody has challenges, everybody has problems. You have problems, I have problems. The question is not, do you have a problem? The question is, what do you do with those problems when they come? Unfortunately, what happens, and this is a little diagram that will explain this, when we have this problem, we often think that I'm the only one that's going to have the answer. And so I have to search to resolve the problem. And for Christians, this is a huge piece because we always have our faith in the presence of Christ around us. But too often, when we have the problem, we put Christ on the other side of the problem, which means we just don't have the awareness of faith. We get so focused on the problem that we lose this communication and this awareness of how faith can help us, and it gets shut down and it gets blocked. And it's because of that that it doesn't enable us to use our faith and Christ as a resource. And so what I want to suggest to you is that when there's problems in life, when you have difficulties that come by, what you want to do is you want to put faith and Christ and yourself on the same side of the issue so that there can be some resources that come from spiritual resources, from our prayer life, from our relationship with Christ, and then together we use those to deal with the issues of today. And when we do that, even in hard times, we are aware that Christ is near. And so how do we encounter then Christ today? Because certainly we're not going to see Christ like the disciples did a long time ago. And so there's three things I want to make a comment on. First, we encounter Christ through the Word. Christ is revealed through the Scriptures. And you hear that in the story of Emmaus. One of the ways that Jesus comforted and strengthened the disciples is he began to reflect from the starting with Moses and on through the prophets, where Jesus was mentioned and the Messiah was mentioned, and it strengthened and helped the disciples understand what was supposed to take place. And at the end, they say, well, were our hearts not warmed when he revealed to us his word, the word? And the Old Testament is the only book that they had when the disciples were there. They didn't have the New Testament. We have both. And we read the Scriptures, and the importance of reading the Scriptures is to help us begin to understand who Jesus is. In John's Gospel, the first chapter, the 14th verse, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." See, the Word is used his because the Word refers to Jesus. "And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so it's in the stories that we begin to understand and meet who Jesus really is. And the second piece is the Holy Spirit makes known to us who Christ is through the biblical stories. The Spirit reveals who Christ is. In John's Gospel, again, the 14th chapter, verse 25-26, it says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And so the Holy Spirit teaches us about who Christ is and reminds us about the way Christ interacted with people and the things that he did. Well, the second way we encounter Christ is in the breaking of the bread. And that's the end of that great story in Luke's gospel. It wasn't until Jesus was invited to stay and they were at the table and Jesus broke the bread. And something that he did in the breaking of the bread all of a sudden took away the blinders from their eyes and they recognized that Jesus was there with them and that he had always been there all the way along that journey. And we encounter Jesus in the breaking of bread, most importantly, in communion, which is why we encourage Christians to come to communion, because it's in the mystery of the Lord's Supper that we encounter and Christ is revealed, and we're reminded about his presence in our life today. But Jesus is encountered in the breaking of bread even when we do that in non-religious settings. When we break bread at home with one another, with friends, whenever bread is shared, whenever a meal is celebrated and shared together, there Jesus is in the presence of them as well. There's a little plaque that I read that says this: Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener of every conversation. And it reminds us that Christ is present when we sit down and eat with one another. And he is that guest, unseen, at the table. Well, the last way we encounter Christ is through sharing faith. And of course, we share faith within the community of faith itself. And it's the times when we gather and we celebrate and worship, and we're together here in the sanctuary, and we listen to the stories, and we hear about the stories of Jesus once again, because it reveals the presence of Christ and reminds us that Christ is alive. The second place is when we share that faith with others who believe, just our friends and family members, and we talk about how God has blessed us and the way we encounter the living of presence of Christ each day. And of course, the last group that we're called to share with is ultimately with others who are searching and looking for deeper meaning in life. And those are the moments when we can share our faith and remind them that there's another resource that helps us and encourages us. Well, I want to finish with an interesting story that I read. There was a man who went to a city that was an average-sized city, and he was doing a conference on spirituality. And he asked the person who was escorting him that if he'd give him a drive around the city, just sort of show the highlights. And so the man said, sure, I'd be glad to do that. And they showed him all the sights of the city, all the highlights, and what the city was best known for. And the speaker for the conference said, you have a wonderful city, but I don't see any places where people are poor, or the slums. Do you have any of those in your city? And he says, well, we have some of those. And he took the gentleman down the streets, and he showed him all these places that were run down and in disrepair. And he came up to this one house, and he said, in this house is one of the saints of this neighborhood. They often consider her the angel of the community here because she's so helpful, she's so positive, and she's always optimistic and smiling and doing what she can to help other people. And so the speaker said, I wonder if I could meet her. So the man stopped the car and they knocked on the door and they went in and the woman greeted them, and she was sitting in this chair as they were talking. And the speaker said, I understand that Christ visits you here in this place. And the old woman said, no, that's false. You've got misinformation there. And the man who was teaching on spirituality was surprised, and he thought, well, maybe she didn't hear me right. And so he raised his voice a little bit. He said, you know, I understand that Jesus comes and visits you here. And once again, the lady said, son, you have it wrong. That's not true at all. And the man who asked her the question had this very questioning and confused look on his face. And the old lady picked it up and he said, Christ does not visit here. Christ abides with me in this place. And then all of a sudden, the spiritual man realized that he had made the mistake, that the woman knew that Christ wasn't an occasional visitor, but Christ was that unseen presence that was with her all the time, that strengthened her and encouraged her in her living. And so it's a wonderful story that reminds us that Christ is with us, and that our opportunity is to begin to focus and be aware of this presence. And so as you journey in life, I want you to understand that even the times when you may think you're alone, that there is an unknown traveler that walks with you. And that's the presence of Christ to encourage you, to strengthen you, and to bless you, and most of all, to know you never walk alone. Let us pray. Wondrous God, I thank you for the scriptures, and especially for this story from the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel. A time when you remind us when Cleopas and the other disciple were walking along and they didn't recognize Jesus, that did not mean that Jesus wasn't there all the time. And we pray that you will open our eyes and help us to be mindful that the resource of Christ's presence is with us at every day of our life. Help us not be distracted by the uncertainties of life, by the fears and the challenges and the problems that we have, but help us to invite Christ into those moments, to be aware that he is a resource for us to face those times with courage and new strength. Once again, loving God, in this time of the coronavirus, help us not to be fearful. Help us to be patient. Help us to know that the virus one day will be overcome. But in the meantime, as we journey to that moment, that your presence, the presence of the living Christ, walks with us. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, there's four things on the way of the announcements that I want to remind you. Next week, we're going to be celebrating communion. So this is going to be the first time that we've ever done communion this way at Grace Church. So at the beginning of next week, I'm going to invite you to get a little piece of bread and get some juice, some grape juice or orange juice or fruit juice. It doesn't matter what kind. Someone even mentioned, well, maybe I could have some wine first thing in the morning. And yes, if you have some red wine and you want to use a little bit of wine, that would be fine as well. But we're going to celebrate communion, and I hope that you'll be part of that very profound experience next Sunday. Stories of Faith are going to come out this week, starting tonight. I'm going to send you some information and some stories for the week. And we're going to hopefully enable you to read some of these stories and become more aware of the faith we have in Christ. Please be aware of our financial support and the need that we still have here, and do what you can. And don't forget to do something creative. I thank all the people who have been a part of it so far, but I want you to continue to paint the rocks, do the prayers, do the drawings. All of them are going to be a wonderful tribute to the vitality and the strength of our congregation as we care for the world and one another. And now we're going to close with hymn number 344, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. And so as we close this worship this morning, I hope that you'll be mindful of the presence of Christ with you. He is the unseen traveler in all of our lives. So no matter where you go, or even when you're sitting at home by yourself, be aware that you're not alone, that Christ is near to uplift you, to strengthen you, and to remind you of his care. And so go with the grace of God, the love of Christ, and the strength of God's Spirit, this day and every day. Amen. We now have the opportunity to finish off with the choral blessing.